build it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Kauk.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauk with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Boys, a rough night for the old Metroplex last night.
Why?
Mavs.
Oh.
Dominated by Thunder.
I forget that's the nickname for that town down there.
Yes. And did you see what happened to the Stars?
Well, I saw they lost, but I didn't see any highlights.
Oh, we'll tell you about how that happened. Crushing.
Ouch.
Everything's bigger in Texas, including blown leads.
Wow. I mean, thank God for the Rangers. It would just be a straight-up embarrassment down there.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys aren't helping out.
Cowboys aren't doing anything. And
so
the Dallas and the Stars are doing what the Cowboys do when they get the playoffs.
Well, the Stars did win a game seven the other day.
They did move on. That's true. So did the Mavs.
Yeah. But it was a rough one all together last night. Boston blew away Cleveland. Knicks Pacers game two tonight. Jamal Murray not suspended. Was fined very heavily. We can talk about that. And, of course, Thunder dominate game one against the Dallas Mavericks. How did it happen? What went the way you thought? What maybe surprised you about game one? Maybe some changes for the Mavs coming up, and how did the Thunder kind of maybe look in their crystal ball and try to be ahead of those adjustments maybe? And then did you see Mark Dagnall's comments before the game about being a coach in the NBA?
No, I did not.
So it was very fascinating. Let me talk about that. High school sports, 4A boys golf state tournament wrapped up yesterday at Shangri-La. We got those results. A thriller at the Tornado Bowl last night. In 4A boys semifinal soccer, did Clinton make it into their fourth straight state title match? Then also Southwestern women's golf team in a great position going into the final round of the Central Regional to qualify for the national tournament. So we got all kinds of stuff going on locally, statewide, nationwide, internationally. We got it all. 225-9698. Is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside of our listening area and you want to stay in touch with the show, it's easy to do. You can either log on to KADSAM.com or you can download the app. The Paragon app is free, Paragon Communications. It's got all radio stations. It's got the Penny News in there in the app. Brand new edition of that Penny News hit the website last night at midnight. So check out the deals, thepennynews.com online. And, of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV. Big Elk TV rolling up to Noble. Class 4A baseball state tournament, 4 o'clock tomorrow, the Big Elks and Chickasha.
They are boys, though. You're not wrong.
Come on now. So we got that 4 o'clock tomorrow is the scheduled start time. As always, when we get into these tournaments, there's chances that it can be a little bit later. And so how do you find the time? Because before we go on the air, we'll know an official start time, right? Mm-hmm. That's just the way this happens. It happens every year. So if it appears like the game isn't happening and we're not streaming, check the Big Elk TV Facebook page, and it will tell you. I wonder if we could make a graphic for Big Elk TV to stream and just say, like, 4:30. You know what I'm saying? If it's different. Maybe that could be a good way to do it, too.
It can be done.
Just to kind of...
It could be in place of, like, you know, the picture that's there before you click play?
Yeah.
You can replace that. I believe you can.
Okay. We could do. Just in the event. I mean, that's one thing. If it's going to be like 10 after 4, we'll be on the air and it'll be fine. But if it's going to be one of those
later,
30 or 45 minute delays, maybe we could do that. But we will definitely put it on the Big Elk TV Facebook page tomorrow, let you know when the official start time is, if it looks like it might be a little bit later than what the schedule has at that 4 o'clock start. Also, Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you miss our show entirely, you can go back and listen each and every day. You can find that everywhere where podcasts are available. Well, Jared, did you get any softball in last night?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I had a late one. It was crazy. Our schedule was 5:30 and then 9:15.
Yeah, it seems like there's one or two of those a summer.
Yeah, yeah. So, fortunately, I work right down the road from the complex, so we grabbed dinner and came back to my office and just relaxed and actually got some work done and then went back for that 9:15 game. Yeah, so it was a little late night. I saw maybe the last quarter of the Thunder game when I got home.
Yeah. That was a good quarter to see.
It was. I was following it closely, and then when I got home, but basically when I turned the TV on, they were starting to make that run and pull away. Yeah. Yeah, they looked good.
Very good. I did a little golfing last night.
Pretty day, pretty night for it.
It was a pretty night. A little breeze, but it was a fun carryover. Nobody won. I think our team tied for the lead or maybe beat everybody by one, but you got to win by two early on. Mm. To kind of build the suspense, build the pot.
Okay.
So, I played terrible.
So, who carried you?
Roy Garrison.
Okay.
Give it up to Scotty G's brother, Roy. Birdied two holes by himself, one of which was par three, number seven. And he was closest to the hole. First shot.
Oh, wow.
First shot hit, and it stood up the entirety of the evening.
Of course, he
hit it to about 3 feet. So
Hard to beat that.
Yeah, it was.
Unless you're putting it in, yeah.
It was. So, me and happy birthday, one of our other teammates, Brandon Embry. Happy birthday to Brandon. It's his birthday today.
I saw that.
Double A, Andrew Albert, Jason Redd. We hear his voice sometimes on the air.
All birthdays today?
No. They were just on our team.
Oh, I thought, what?
There was five of us.
Gotcha.
We played well. Just not quite well enough to beat everybody by two. But it was a nice evening. Just a tick breezy, but it was still very comfortable outside.
Yeah.
Last night to be out there. All right, speaking of golf, Class 4A Boys State Golf Tournament wrapped up yesterday over in northeastern Oklahoma at Shangri-La. Sean has glowing reports of that place as he comes back, which I think anybody that goes there has pretty well glowing reports of that place when they come back.
Absolutely.
When the dust settled, for the first time since 2013, the 4A Boys State Golf Champion is a public school.
Well, bravo.
The last time that was happened in 2013, Ada was the 4A Boys State Golf Champion. Yesterday, Plainview wins. It really interesting how it all works, right? Because just a week ago today, the regional tournament was here at Elk City Golf and Country Club, and Plainview squeaked by the hair of their chinny chin chin just to get into the state tournament. I think they were three shots out of fourth. They clear of fourth. So, I mean, they were right on the edge of not even making it in to the state tournament.
Wow.
Then they turn around. I think they've been kind of the number one team all year. Their coach he coached at Ardmore when I was in high school. He said, basically, it's the first time they'd played in bad weather. I mean, it was windy and rainy, you know, last Wednesday here, and it affected them big time, and they did not handle it very well. But they turn around, played like the team that they have been all year long, and they win, shooting 901 for three rounds, defeating the defending champion, Oklahoma Christian Schools, end up second at 915, 14 shots back of Plainview. Crossings Christian, a shot back from there in third at 916. Jace Chaney is the individual medalist from Plainview. He whipped the field by seven shots. Three rounds, he was four under par at 212. The next closest was Jackson Magnus of Crossings. He shot plus three. He was one of the kids that was in the playoff here for the regional title a week ago. As I mentioned, first public school to win 4A in golf since Ada in 2013. Down the leaderboard a little bit, Woodward, the Boomers were sixth, shooting 948, and then bringing up the rear were the Elks 11th at 980, and then Weatherford was 12th at 990. Individually for the Elks, Tristan Dunn had the best finish, 234 total for 3 days. That was 22nd. Braden Duncan, I'm sure he's disappointed after the way he'd played all year, and especially at the regional a week ago. 245, 3 day total for Braden, finishes 46th. Kaysten, Ferris, 247 in 49th. Then Blake Redd, 255, he finished 61st. Keaton Twyman, 266, finished 68th. Kaysten, Ferris, Blake Redd, both seniors, and so the Elks will have to replace two guys in the fold for next year. I know they got some young ones coming up that are eighth graders, some kids that are seventh graders that are a year away from really starting to make an impact on Elk City boys golf. But a rough go, no doubt about it, to finish 11th out of 12th. But still got themselves into a position to make the state tournament on a rough day here a week ago. And another interesting side note, this was only the second time in those 11 years since Ada won the title, only the second time that Elk City has been beaten by a public school at the 4A Boys State Golf Tournament. And they have zero titles to show for it.
Wow.
And so all the teeth gnashing and the hand-wringing about football or basketball or whatever sport you want to talk about when it comes up to the public versus private debate and all that, there may not be a team, an individual team in any sport that's been affected more by public schools than Big Elk Golf. It's just the way it goes. Got to get better and beat them. That's just, it is what it is. But that was an interesting note with Plainview winning yesterday. Then kind of went back and I realized, wow, it's only the second time that's happened since 2013. But hopefully, you know, got the whole summer to get better, the whole spring's a long ways away, you know, when it comes to the golf and the school schedule.
Yeah.
So there's a long way away. You can get better and be ready to be in position next year to be more in the top half of that field and maybe even fighting for a boys golf state title. But congrats to Plainview, and really cool that streak is finally broken.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're there, if there is, I can remember back in 2021 when the Elks were right there with, was it Kasha Hall, going into the last round, and you could feel, you know, the Cushings or the Adas that were in the group or right behind, you know, everybody kind of pulling fully for each other to finally break through. And it didn't happen that day, but it did yesterday. So there you have it with Plainview. Also, high school sports. Thriller over in the Tornado Bowl last night. Clinton boys soccer were looking for their fourth straight trip to the state final. They are the three-time defending state champions on the soccer field. They fell behind 2-1 in the second half to Fort Gibson, but then got, oh man, I had that pulled up.
I got you.
You got the Clinton Daily News, Twitter.
Yeah, they tied it up with at the 31-20,
yeah, here
mark.
It is. DeAndre Beavers.
Yep.
Tied it 2-2. And then Armando Santoya, with 3:11 left, gave Clinton the 3-2 lead, and they would win 3-2 over Fort Gibson. So now, man, you talked about it off the air yesterday. We didn't mention it, but Coach Jefferson, just an amazing run that he's had with Clinton soccer over there.
It's incredible. It's incredible what he's doing. And I mean, you talk about that's a dynasty, right? You win three in a row, you're playing for four. So no matter what, you're bringing home hardware to an already packed trophy case. And I don't think he's done. They got a machine rolling over there. So they get, Heritage Hall? Speaking of public versus private, I'm sure a lot of people publicly will be rooting for the Red Tornadoes against Heritage Hall. What was that, Friday?
May 10th.
That's Friday. Friday at 5. And we're at Taft.
Yeah, Taft.
In Oklahoma City.
And
it's their regular home now at the end of the year.
And honestly, I mean, we've done some different stuff for the soccer games, the finals and whatnot. It is a super cool environment.
It's a great environment.
It is
a
super cool environment.
Yeah.
If you like soccer at all, and heck, if you don't like soccer, just to experience, because it's an awesome watch.
It is.
In that stadium, in that setting, in Oklahoma City. It really is cool. It's really cool to go experience that.
Yeah. I was there, was that 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
We were there helping them out, and I was there all day Saturday, and getting to work with some great people and just watching all that soccer. And I was fortunate to see Clinton win one of those titles, and that was pretty cool. And just, you know, soccer is kind of like hockey, you know. We kind of talk about hockey's fun to watch on TV. Soccer's a sport, it's fun to be there and experience it, like you said. And especially when you're not a fan for either team, just to kind of experience it. Like, I've been to some energy games when they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fun. But back to this. That's cool for Clinton and Coach Jay. He's doing such a great job over there. You know, we'd be remiss not to mention the Weatherford girls, too. They got to the finals, too.
That's right.
They'll play over there on Friday at 8 o'clock. Taking on Ooligaw. They beat Chickasha. Was that 3-0?
3-0.
That's pretty cool. I mean,
it's nil, Jared.
Oh,
it's not nothing.
Sorry, Scott. Sorry. Didn't know our soccer expert was in-house. I thought that's Friday.
Well, you're wrong.
So that's cool to get a little Custer County, Western Oklahoma flair in there.
Yeah, and I would
have boys and girls.
Would that 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, those games are what? Think there'd be one in between, or would that be back to back?
Well, I can effort the
rest
of the brackets. I'm assuming they're all at Taft again.
Yeah, because it's
but they might it might just be those two on Friday, then the rest on
well, there's,
Saturday.
There's a Friday 5A girls at 8 o'clock, but I'm sure that's up north.
Yeah, because it's
Pryor and Holland Hall.
Yeah, they probably saw the opponents, said let's keep them up there.
Edison Prep and Booker T. 2 o'clock. I bet that's north. Isn't it? Like,
that might be the only show. And
is it Rogers State? Isn't that where
Rogers
a lot
State,
of these
was it
usually
Claremore?
Are?
Is that right?
Edmund North and Norman
well,
North.
Well, last year when Clinton won it, they went up. They had to go up there.
So 2 years ago,
Rogers State.
Was it 2 years ago they played Chickasha?
2 years ago,
that
they
was at
Chickasha.
Taft.
That was at Taft. Yeah.
Here's a 5 o'clock May 10th, but that's Jinx and Broken Arrow. 3 o'clock, May 10th. So, yeah, Cassidy and Crooked Oaks. That'll be, I'm sure that's at Taft. I wish it had that on there. We'd know for sure. Then noon.
I'm going to guess.
It looks like to me it's back to back.
Just back to back, and they give time to, they got to give the time to the kids to warm up and all that.
Yeah,
between
what,
games and then.
How
you know,
long is the game?
The pomp and circumstance after the game and all that stuff.
Are they 45-minute halves?
I believe so.
I couldn't remember.
That
45.
That would make sense that they're...
So it's an hour-and-a-half game. There's 20 minutes probably for halftime or what have you. Yeah, that makes sense.
Then you got your post-game stuff. You're giving away medals and trophies.
And the warm-up times. Yeah, there's no doubt that's back-to-back. Clinton boys first at 5 o'clock at Taft, and then the Weatherford girls will be at 8, also on Friday.
Think Clinton fans will show up early or stay and root for Weatherford and vice versa?
No.
None of that going on?
There might be. No. I think there's a better chance
that's
you'll get.
That's easy for us to say over here in Elk City.
That's right.
I'm just wondering if they'll.
There's probably a better chance that you might have Weatherford at the Clinton game just because they're showing up their game.
Yeah.
Maybe they will. You never know. Soccer is this community of love. So maybe they.
Maybe they're rooting.
Custer County rivalry be damned. We're rooting for each other.
Well, yeah, and rooting for against Heritage Hall.
Maybe. It's a chance. I guess there's a chance. I shouldn't have dismissed that so quickly. Would you?
Should we reach out to our man LJ and see what he thinks?
Yeah.
I could do that right now. I wonder what a... I'm surprised we haven't had texters. So we have some Clinton texters that will let us know. Would I?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd have a problem with it.
You'd stay.
Oh, would I stay?
Yeah.
Maybe for like a half.
That's a no. Southwest, speaking of Weatherford, Southwestern women's golf team in a great, great position. To qualify for the national tournament going into today's final round of the Central Regional. That's held at Hillcrest Country Club in Bartlesville. I know there was a massive delay yesterday. Tee times were scheduled for 10 a.m. and they pushed it back to a shotgun start at 2 o'clock because of debris and damage from the tornado on Tuesday night.
Oh, wow.
So there's limbs everywhere. Maybe a couple of trees were down. Things flung onto the golf course as debris, so they had to get all that cleaned up. They did get round two in the books yesterday, and the Southwestern Oklahoma State University Lady Dogs are leading the golf tournament through two rounds plus 22. They've shot 298 and 300 in their first two in their rounds. That's the best round each day, which, I mean, obviously they're ahead, but sometimes it's not, you know, you don't always have the best of both rounds. They have so far, 298 and 300. They're four ahead of Henderson State. They are 13 ahead of third-place Rogers State. Most importantly, they're 21 shots ahead of fourth-place Central Missouri. Why is that most important? The top three go. The top three teams qualify for nationals. So, Lady Dogs head into today's final round, 21 ahead of fourth. Sure, you'd like to win. I get it. But the main objective is to make it into the national tournament, and Southwestern is in a great, great, great position to do that with a big, giant lead over fourth-place Central Missouri. Individually, Rebecca Lau is tied for second overall with the rounds of 72, which is even par, and then 74 yesterday, plus two total through two rounds. She's tied second. And then Cordell's Megan Brown is tied 11th. She shot even par 72 in round one. Had a couple of bad holes, a double and a quad yesterday that really ballooned her score up to 80 plus 8. So she's tied 11th still, even though that round yesterday didn't go quite how she wanted to. But yeah, the Lady Dogs in great, great position to move on to the national tournament. If they can just, you know, it's one of those, probably a hard round to play today, you know, with that thought in your mind of don't blow it. I mean,
yeah,
you know, just, but if they just do what they've been doing throughout the first 2 days, Lady Dogs should cruise into the national tournament next week. So, or I assume next week. I'll have to look up the schedule. But good stuff so far for Southwestern there on the golf course. Hanging out here on a Wednesday. Focus our attention now to last night's Western Conference semifinals game one inside the Paycom Center down in downtown Oklahoma City. The Oklahoma City Thunder defeat the Dallas Mavericks 117-95. Game was tied at 23 at half. The Thunder led by 9 at halftime, 10 going into the fourth quarter, then outscored Dallas 28-16 in that deciding fourth quarter to win by 22 points at 117-95. Looking at just kind of the overall stats, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not the greatest of shooting nights at 8 of 19, made 2 of his 4 threes. He scored 29 points, grabbed 9 rebounds, dished out 9 assists. Jalen Williams didn't make a basket until the third quarter. He ends up with 18 points, as we've seen a lot this year when it came to start of the fourth quarter where the Thunder really kind of made their run. It was J-Dub with 8 in a row being a huge part of that. Chet, I thought, was really good all night long. 2 of 5 from 3, 8 of 16 from the field, a couple of huge dunks, including one that really got the crowd rolling there in the third quarter. 19 points, 7 assists, blocked 3 shots. And then the bench, you had Jalen Williams, Arkansas Williams. I thought he was huge early on when the Thunder were having trouble. He came off the bench, scored 11 points in 17 minutes, also grabbed 9 rebounds. And then Aaron Wiggins. Aaron Wiggins is a fan favorite for a reason. He scored 16 off the bench, 3 of 4 from 3, a couple early. It really felt like him and Jay Will were the guys that kind of spurred the thing along early on when the Thunder were having a little bit of trouble. And then the Stars starred, and next thing you know, Oklahoma City blows out Dallas 117-95. How'd they do it?
Athleticism. A big part of it. I know there's going to be that injected excuse of Luka's knee not keeping him 100%. He was held to, 19, which is low for him. Percentage shooting-wise was not down to. And I liked his answer when he was asked about that, and he said no. He basically said no excuses. We lost. We got to do better. I got to do better. That was a mature answer. But overall, I think athleticism, from what I saw highlights this morning, but from the quarter I saw, they just out-athleted Dallas, I felt like, from what I saw. And depth was a big thing. You mentioned bench play was big. And and it kind of I know it's been one game, but I kind of had those questions about Dallas of who else besides Luka and Kyrie, and who else was there? Who was that third guy? Maybe that guy off the bench. Who was it going to be? And I'm not sure they got it. Again, game one. I'm not trying to overreact to it, but overall, though, I think the youth of Oklahoma City, and we're seeing them grow right before our eyes, the maturity of them too, but athletically they're just, I think, a little bit more superior than Dallas.
Yeah, Gafford was pretty good. He had 16 points, 11 rebounds, blocked 5 shots. You know, P.J. Washington, golly, he scored 10. It's just kind of a really quiet 10. I thought Josh Green, early on, he made a couple of threes.
I've had my eye on him.
Off the bench. Yeah. You know, it seemed like early, you know, through the middle of the second quarter or so, Dallas was generating some pretty open threes, and it felt like Green was the one that got most of them. He knocked a couple of down. But, yeah, it's what we talked about yesterday. What's the biggest advantage for either of these teams in this series? And it's depth. And it's quality depth. And it played out right in front of our eyes last night. Dallas's bench scored 23 points. 11 of those came from Green. But they scored 23 with a combined minus 46 plus minus. The Oklahoma City Thunder bench scored 42 with a combined plus 45. And when, you know, the star duos were similar, Kyrie had 20, as you mentioned, Luka with 19. But those guys, they score 39 points, and it takes them 33 shots to do it. You take that if you're a Thunder fan all day long. On the other side, 48 from Shea, 47 from Shea and J-Dub on 34 shots. So not way efficient, but way more efficient than what the Dallas Stars were in that game last night. And so that, I think that kind of went exactly to the plan that we talked about yesterday.
Do you think the slow start was that game one rust we kind of saw against New Orleans? Had kind of the long layover. I didn't bring that up yesterday because I didn't think about it, to be honest. But I thought about throughout the day. I thought, well, there's going to be that. I wonder if that's something we'll see. And as I was following the game, I saw it was close. Well, you know, what was it, tied after the first, and they gave a little bit of a run in the second, but kind of gave it up in the third. I wondered if, well, they're just got to get their legs back. They're a little rusty. You know, getting back into that rhythm, and they did in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, from like the last couple of minutes of the third quarter on, you know, Dallas had cut the lead down to one. I think it was 66-65, maybe right middle stages of the third quarter, maybe a little even deeper than that into the third quarter. And then all of a sudden, Oklahoma City just burst it out. They led 83-73 going into the final frame and then outscored the Mavs 28-16. Things that didn't surprise was, one, the bench, two, defense. That's now 5 straight playoff games in which this Oklahoma City Thunder team has not allowed 100 points. All 4 against New Orleans and then last night against Dallas. You mentioned Luka and the knee. He doesn't look right. He doesn't look fully healthy. And here's the truth. Yeah, he averaged 30 in the series against the Clippers. But his shooting stats were terrible. He shot 40% from the field, 24% from three, and 83% from the line. His assist to turnover was about 2.5 to 1. Matter of fact, it was exactly 2.5 to 1. But if you take out a game five, he was 14 of 26. Take that one out, and he shot just barely 37% from the field in that first round, so far in the playoffs. That's not going to cut it. For Dallas, he's gonna. And you mentioned he was totally point blank. I need to do better, and he's right. Dallas isn't going to be able to win this series. They have no chance to win this series if Luka Doncic is going to shoot, 30-something% from the field. And honestly, he's not been terrible from inside the line. You know, last night, what, 5 of 11? That's not terrible for a guard. But, man, his three-point shooting, 1 of 8 last night, all the way down in the low 20s for the playoffs, it's not going to cut it for Dallas.
And it's not going to get any better when you got Lu Dort guarding him, if he's not 100% with the knee. And Lu Dort all up in his kitchen all night long. That's not going to get any better. And yeah, he wants to do better, but I mean, the knee's just probably not going to let him.
So adjustment wise, does that mean give the ball to Kyrie more?
Yeah, there'll be adjustments. I bet that's the first thing they'll do.
I mean, you look at how he shot the basketball. He scored 20 on 7 of 14, 3 of 4 from 3. You know, those are the shooting stats that you like to see from guards a lot more than what Luka's firing up there. Maybe, you know, this is one of those, let him play off the ball, let Kyrie be kind of the facilitator and let the offense run through him. And also, you mentioned Dort. I think that Kyrie is the guy that Oklahoma City has a little bit harder time guarding. He's a little quicker. I know he's smaller, but he's a little quicker. You know, that J-Dub is, you know, maybe stay with him, maybe not. You know, Cason Wallace last night, like we all thought, played an important role with 23 minutes off the bench. And, man, when him and Dort are out there together, that is a formidable defensive duo in the backcourt. And so maybe that, you know, the adjustment is for Dallas – run more through Kyrie as opposed to Luka. And then I think the adjustment for Oklahoma City would be, you know, Cason played 23 minutes last night. Maybe his minute numbers bump up just a little bit more with having to defend Kyrie Irving.
We'll see. We will see. I wonder if a lot of creating the matchups that you want if you're Dallas defensively. I mean, I'm not a coach, but you know, set a lot of screens, a lot of pick and rolls, stuff like that to create that those favorable matchups. So we'll see offensively if there's a wrinkle thrown in there.
Well, and I think that's one of the beauties of Lu Dort is like he just refuses to be screened. You know, I mean, a lot of guys will just you watch in the NBA night after night, kind of put their hand out to initiate the switch.
Mm-hmm.
Lu Dort's hand doesn't go out. He just hopes somebody can kind of hedge out there just a little bit so that if he does kind of get picked off just a tick, he can catch up before, you know, Luka would turn the corner on him. And so just being able to have that tenacity to not be screened, I think that's what makes part of the reason why Lu Dort is so special defensively is he doesn't just kind of agree to the switch that the offense – wants him to have to take the way that about everybody else in the league really does. Did you see Dagnall's comments? I thought it was fascinating before the game. He was asked about just being an NBA coach and, you know, how important is a coach and this and that. And he basically said, everyone wants to just think that each job, like it just, they've got every job is apples to apples. And he said that could not be further away from the truth. He said every single job in the NBA is completely different from how your front office operates to the players that are there to even the staffs that are, you know, all the way around to assistant coaches and all of it. Those jobs are all independent, 32 different jobs from one another, even though they're all in the same league and doing the same thing. It's just all completely different. And I thought that was a fascinating way to answer that because, you know, we always hear the culture the Thunder create. And we think of that as just the players on the court, right? And how they kind of have that. You know, this group obviously has a chemistry and a connection, and how much of that is Presti looking into by bringing these certain guys in and all that. But we never really think about it from the coach's standpoint about not him creating the culture for the team, but the front office creating the culture for him.
Yeah.
And how much easier that could make his job than a lot of other places.
Absolutely. Absolutely, the dynamics of players and looking at, it's almost in a weird way, it's probably I wonder if that's where Sam starts when he's looking for guys. Does he fit into that culture you speak of? And does it fit in for the coach that I got? I remember when Dagnall was hired, I said, who?
Oh, yeah.
You know, who's this guy? He was an assistant. He was an analyst. What is this guy? Well, it's clear, I think, that Sam hired him because he knew this is the guy that I'm going to build this culture around, and I know what type of player he's going to be able to coach, and we have the same philosophy. Yeah, it's top to bottom when you speak of culture. It's not just the five that are on the floor. I'll go even further. I think it goes from the people taking the tickets at the door, popping your popcorn, coaching the team. It's all a culture thing. And, you know, it's not just a Thunder. You know, we mentioned Miami has a good culture. They have a culture of winning, and sometimes we write them off, and then there they are. You know, I know they got beat out in the first round, but after they won that game against Boston, like, well, are we shocked? You know, they keep showing up here, and they keep finding ways to have an impact in the playoffs, and that's the culture that they've created. I think it was there before LeBron got there, clearly, when Shaq was there, won that title. But there's a great culture here in Oklahoma City. It all starts with Sam. I think Sam, that started with Sam Presti and understanding culture is a big part of the process to this.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think being able to, you know, you mentioned Miami. You see what Pat Riley said about Jimmy Butler?
Loved it.
But that's he is able to say that.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't see it, it was Jimmy Butler had comments. And he said, keep your mouth shut if you're not playing the game. Well, he wasn't playing. He was injured. But that doesn't – not very many people in the league would say that.
I don't recall hearing a response from Butler from that.
Well, because of how sensitive it feels like the players are and how much they think they own the league. And listen, they kind of do. Ever since the decision that LeBron made to go down to Miami, player movement and player freedom of movement has kind of been what the league has been about.
Right.
And because of that, because of waiting on the next great star to come to your place, a lot of people just kind of let things go. I don't think there's any doubt. Jim talks about this all the time. I don't think there's any doubt that the Thunder have learned from mistakes made in the first go-round with that first team. One, from a team-building standpoint, and I think another, you know, there was such a fear of what's next or what can happen, and are the Thunder even going to stay here when Durant left? And so they turned the franchise over to Russ, and he kind of held it hostage in a lot of ways. Now, there was a lot of great about Russell Westbrook, don't get me wrong. But I think as far as this conversation goes, he was above the law. And I think that they have learned, they being Presti mainly, learned from that mistake and are going to do everything they can with this run to keep that from happening. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to tell you that Shea doesn't get an extra little perk or here or there, but you know what? The truth of it is, if you have the right guys and the makeup mentally and personality-wise of certain guys is what you want and what you're creating, then that isn't even really a request. Maybe like it was at first, mm-hmm. in the first run. So I just thought those comments were really interesting by Dagnall, basically talking about how the Thunder have made his job a lot easier than a lot of the different head coaching jobs in the NBA. One that looks pretty easy right now is to be the head coach at Boston. The Celtics just ripped through the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, 120-95. Jaylen Brown, Derek White. Derek White was awesome. Closing out that first series against Miami. He was great again last night, knocking down 7 threes. This one feels like a 4 or 5-game series, and there's really not anything Cleveland can do about it.
I'll bet you a Big Splash Burrito is just 4.
Now I think there could be the one Donovan Mitchell explosion game you know, game three or four where he might have 50 or 60. You know, I mean,
yeah.
But even then,
there could be
in Boston. We saw in the first series though, Boston kind of get bored.
You're right. Yeah.
Not right. In game two. I mean, Miami just made a ton of threes in one game two on their home floor. But even in those games, the last two of the last three on the road, they'd get out to huge leads, and then they just kind of get – it was like they were bored with it. So that could bite them at least – that could bite them one time at most. But you're probably right. I would not bet that.
Here's the deal. Tatum was not good last night.
No.
And that's how they won still. They still won by 25. You're not going to hold Tatum down that every game like that to under at least, what do you get, 18?
20, yeah, 18 of 7 and 19 shooting. Yeah. Yeah, so. Is there any concern for down the road, at least, that Boston, especially with Porzingis out, doesn't have enough depth?
Not in this series, but down the road.
I'm talking about down the road.
I know, down the road, who we think it could possibly be, New York.
Yeah, and even into the finals. I worry about Al Horford wearing down, man.
Yeah, Horford is.
He only played 27 minutes last night.
Yeah.
And honestly, that won't happen if they keep on blowing people out.
Yeah.
If somebody gives them a series, then that would have the possibility of Al Horford
then
maybe.
Then it won't get easier any further down the road, clearly, with whoever their opponent is next. And then if they get to the finals out of the West, and especially if it's a team like Minnesota or the Thunder who play incredibly tough defense. Yeah, that's a good question.
Knicks Pacers tonight, game two, New York up 1-0. Also, were you surprised that Jamal Murray was not suspended for throwing a couple things on the floor and also making a little money sign at the refs?
No. It goes back to what I said. He the star power saved him.
Fined $100,000.
He didn't save his bank account.
I don't remember a player ever being fined that much money.
That's pretty hefty.
But keeping
him off the court, or taking him off the court, I didn't see that happening. That goes back. Listen, Silver is spineless, and he was not going to take a star off the court in the playoffs. He just wasn't going to do it. But he did the next best thing, and that's hurt him in his pocketbook.
Yeah, that's a hefty, hefty fine.
I think the only thing that would keep him off the court if it was a straight-up fight. Like if straight up came off the bench throwing haymakers or something silly.
Or
like
if throwing that heat pad would have rolled somebody's ankle, which was pretty close to doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, not surprised because if this was Stern, he'd have been suspended. But since it's Adam Silver, it ain't happening.
Yep.
Wrapping up a Wednesday edition of the show. Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main right here in Elk City. Great place for lunch, for dinner, and it's got all kinds of different options for you there on the menu. Classic hamburgers, we got tons of different sandwich items, wraps. We've also got pizza, pasta, if you want a steak, if you want chicken, if you want seafood, all of those things, and for the healthier options. There's also delicious salads, a house salad, a grilled chicken salad, a steak salad. You love the variety of options at the Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main in Elk City. They're open every day of the week, 11 to 10, Sunday through Thursday, then 11 to 11 on Fridays and Saturdays. And don't forget, happy hour, 2 to 6 every Monday through Friday, appetizer plates and drink specials at the Boomtown Grill, 12 big screen TVs to watch an assortment of different sporting events. Man, Jared, the Dallas Stars, the Metroplex, had a rough night.
Yeah, so what happened?
The Mavs go down to the Thunder, and then the Stars blow a 3-0 lead. They led 3-0 after the first period of play, and Colorado gets 2 in the second, 1 in the third to send it in overtime, and then an overtime goal to win 4-3. Take game one. That is now the sixth consecutive game one that the Dallas Stars have lost.
That's crazy.
You know, it's hard to blow a 3-0 lead in hockey.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Was this 3-0 in, let me look at the box.
3-0 after the first period
after
of play.
After the first period.
Yes.
Yeah, that's hard to blow. Wow. And yeah, that's the thing I notice about hockey, though. You can get up 3-0, and then quickly like that, and then your opponent will score a goal. In this case, they didn't score until the second period, but it opens up that little bit of doubt, right? A little mm-hmm. doubt starts to creep in, and then the fans start to murmur a little bit, and then another goal happens. They're like, "Oh, okay, looked like we were going to blow them out of the off the ice," and then now it's suddenly 3-2.
Yeah, 3-2 going into the third, then it's like, uh-oh.
And it builds even more. How many block shots did the Avs have? I'm going to goalie. 14 saves. I'm going to do my best. I don't look at a lot of hockey box scores. 14 saves. I mean, 86% save rate, basically.
That's not very good.
Not really. Well, when you give up 3 early goals, You're it's a wonder you're still in there. Sometimes you'll see him make a switch, but with every missed shot or block shot or save or whatever, that doubt grows. That's how you beat some. That's how you come back at home in hockey. You just create that doubt goal by goal.
It was at Dallas.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
That's what's crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
Golly.
Yeah. Now yeah. That is deflating for a game one loss at home.
They lost the first two games of the last series at home against Las Vegas and then came back and won 4-3. It went two road wins, and then the home team won the last 3. We'll see here with the Stars. But yeah, poor Metroplex. Rough go of it last night.
Darn it.
A rough, rough go. Anything else on your mind?
Let me think. No, I mean, I'm all ready for baseball tomorrow.
Baseball tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
Tomorrow, and start that trek, and then see what happens Friday, hopefully Saturday. It's all like right now is this baseball series or the state tournament and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I remember the story now. There's an article on ESPN's website about this. Wayne Shelton. Does that name ring a bell?
No. Wayne Shelton.
Wayne Shelton is the guy that bet on the Texas Rangers to win the World Series.
Right.
The Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. And the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the NBA title.
It's like the a parlay.
Yes.
$100, right?
$100 ticket to win $1.7 million.
I saw that pop up on my phone.
He was at the game last night.
Is he from Oklahoma City?
No. Real estate appraisal business in Phoenix.
Of all places. That's
Ask
weird.
How he felt. Nervous as hell.
He bet he went to the game. He came out to Oklahoma City.
He was there last night.
Need to bring the juju, bring the mojo, bring the positive energy.
Yeah, May 1st, 2023 is when he made the bet.
That's crazy.
22-1 odds on the Rangers, 6-1 on Kansas City, and at that time it was 70-1 for the Thunder.
See, I can see making the bet, obviously, for the Chiefs, but I'd like to know, what did you see about the Rangers? What are you seeing back then about the Thunder?
We'll talk about it. We'll read
the
this
odds,
article.
That's all it was the odds.
Maybe the odds would... We'll see what he says. It's a big old long article here. We can read it, talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, I need to read that and bring it to air tomorrow.
Absolutely. Everybody have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow. Skinny on Sports, right here on The Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.